Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our 833rd day together in the Word of God, and we come to Job 34. Elihu is going to be speaking again. Let's pray and ask for wisdom because we need it. Heavenly Father, we are dependent upon you for every bit of wisdom, every bit of insight into your word, every bit of faithfulness that we can have in response to your word. It all comes from you as a gift. We pray that you give it to us today by your grace and for your glory, that you draw our hearts close to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Job 34. Then Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, you wise men, and give ear to me, you who know, for the ear tests words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose what is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, 'I am in the right,' and God has taken away my right. In spite of my right, I am counted a liar. My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks up scoffing like water, who travels in company with evildoers and walks like wicked men? For he has said, 'It profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God.' Therefore hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong. For according to the work of a man he will repay him, and according to his ways he will make it befall him. Of a truth, God will not do wickedly, and the Almighty will not pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth, and who laid on him the whole world? If he should set his heart to it, and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to what I say. Shall one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is righteous and mighty, who says to a king, 'Worthless one,' and to nobles, 'Wicked man,' who shows no partiality to princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands? In a moment they die, at midnight the people are shaken and pass away, and the mighty are taken away by no human hand. For his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves, for God has no need to consider a man further that he should go before God in judgment. He shatters the mighty without investigation and sets others in their place. Thus, knowing their works, he overturns them in the night, and they are crushed. He strikes them for their wickedness in a place for all to see. Because they turned aside from following him, and had no regard for any of his ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come to him, and he heard the cry of the afflicted, when he is quiet, who can condemn? When he hides his face, who can behold him? Whether it be a nation or a man, that a godless man should not reign, that he should not ensnare the people. For has anyone said to God, 'I have borne punishment, I will not offend any more. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more.' Will he then make repayment to suit you because you reject it? For you must choose and not I. Therefore declare what you know. Men of understanding will say to me, and the wise man who hears me will say, 'Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without insight.' Would that Job were tried to the end, because he answers like wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God." Well, now Elihu is starting to sound more like Job's three friends. Not entirely. There's still a little bit of a distinction, but it reminds me of, we've got in the Presbyterian church, we like to get together and we like to talk and we like to discuss things. We have presbytery meetings five times a year when 30-some churches from the Baltimore-Annapolis area get together and discuss and debate. And then once a year, we have our big general assembly, 2,000-plus guys get together and debate and discuss. And sometimes at general assembly, it feels like a guy gets to the microphone and basically says, everything that can be said on this topic has already been said, but it hasn't been said by me. And so he says basically the same thing that's already been said. So at one point, you know, people ask, has anybody got anything new to add to this discussion, or are we just going to keep hearing the same arguments over and over again? That's a little bit what we see from Elihu here is, everything that can be said has already been said, but it hasn't been said by me. He is putting Job's friends in their place. Hear me, you wise men, and give ear to me, you who know. Right? He's calling out Job's friends, and he wants them to judge what he's saying. And then he's calling out Job. Job says, I'm in the right. God's taken away my right. So, but then he says something about Job in verse 9, which is not really true. He has said, it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God. And this is not really true. Job hasn't quite gone to that point. Job has stated that the wicked and the righteous both seem to suffer the same fate, but he did delight in God, and he never said it profits a man nothing to believe in God. This was, let's just jump over for a minute and look at Psalm 73, Asaph's psalm. This is where Asaph was almost going to go. Asaph in Psalm 73 was seeing that the wicked were prosperous. They have no pangs until death. They are not in trouble as others are, right? And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? And so Asaph was thinking in verse 13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I've been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. So here I'm bringing this up because Asaph was on the verge of saying, it's totally without point to serve God. Why? It's in vain to keep your heart clean and wash your hands in innocence. But he didn't say that. If he would have said that, he would have betrayed the generation of your children. So we go back to what's happening here with Job. And what we see is that Job has not said this. Okay. Elihu is accusing Job of saying it profits a man nothing that he should take delight in God. But that's not exactly what Job has done. He is simply saying that it is not true that if you follow God, you will be earthly prosperous. Not that it profits nothing, but he's saying it's not true that if you follow God, if you serve God, you will have a happy and blessed life in measurable temporal ways in this life. And that much is true. It's not God, following God, honoring God, taking delight in God, doesn't necessarily lead you to temporal earthly gain, either in pleasure or in power or in riches. But Job does not ever say flat out, there's no point in honoring God or delighting in God. And so again, what Elihu is guilty of then here is presuming to know, because he's already reached the conclusion that Job should be condemned for the things that he has said against God. Now, I want to back up here for a minute because we've been talking a lot about presumption, but I want to see here from a different perspective. I want us to affirm that what Elihu is saying here about God is true, right? Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong. For according to the work of a man, he will repay him, and according to his ways, he will make it befall him. Of a truth, God will not do wickedly, and the Almighty will not pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Who laid on him the whole world? If he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to the dust. So, What Elihu is saying here is exactly right. He's saying this: God does not do wrong. God cannot and will not do wickedly or pervert justice. And also, there's no one above God who holds God accountable to some higher standard of justice, because he's the one who's given life and breath to everyone and everything in the world. The entire universe owes its moment-by-moment existence to God. If God said, I'm done with you, we would all be dead, all be gone, all be obliterated. So there's no one to hold God accountable. There's no higher standard than God. God does not do wickedly, and God does not pervert justice. And yet, what Elihu misses is that all of that is true, and yet, it can still be the experience of a believer, of a child of God, that what they are enduring in this life is unfair, is undeserved, is disproportionate. Again, what's happening to Job is still happening to Job. He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his livestock. He lost all of his wealth. He lost his health. He was only left with his wife, who would not stop nagging him and berating him, and these friends who accuse him and judge him. He's lost his social standing. He's lost his reputation. He's lost his honor and respect. He's lost everything worldly, and it wasn't fair. It wasn't deserved. And yet, God doesn't do wickedly. God doesn't pervert justice. Which means there has to be a bigger story than what we can see. There has to be a bigger story than what we can see. This is what Elihu and all of Job's friends are missing, and what Job himself is aching for, and what God himself will show up and will say, not in so many words, but he'll say it as to say, this is bigger than you. This is more complex than you. And so when you see things that don't make any sense, when you see people of low character, low integrity, thriving, prospering. Look, in the church, for example, you can see people pastoring mega churches and dressing in $3,000 suits and driving fancy cars and living in big houses, and they're preaching a false gospel. They're leading people astray, and they're smiling, and they're just as happy as can be. And then you see faithful pastors who love the Lord, who earnestly serve him, who preach and teach his word, and who struggle with a church that's dying, and who are in obscurity, and who live with very little. There are men that I know in Africa who, they have nothing. They're dirt poor. Yet they're faithful men of God who serve the Lord faithfully. They suffer. It doesn't seem right. And yet it's true that God does not do wickedly. God does not pervert justice. And so there has to be a bigger story. There has to be a bigger picture. It must be that what we see and how we measure things is not the full story, not even close to the full story. That faithful pastor in Africa who labors in obscurity and in poverty will be rewarded in eternity far beyond our ability to ask or imagine, and that prosperity gospel preacher with the fancy suits and fancy cars and big houses, that's all he's ever going to get. That's all the reward he's ever going to enjoy, because he's a false teacher who's led people astray, and he will be judged. There is, God will not pervert justice. And the day of reckoning is coming, and we don't see it all. We don't see the whole picture. So we need to keep that in mind, and we need to pray that God would make us faithful and fruitful, more so than happy and prosperous. So easy in America, especially, I think, but everywhere in the world, frankly, everywhere in the world. Everybody wants to be happy and prosperous, happy and successful, happy and blessed in an obvious external way. More important is to be faithful and fruitful, because Job's faithfulness is still bearing fruit 3,000, 4,000 years later. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example of Job, for faithfulness and fruitfulness that is more important than worldly happiness and prosperity. Give us that vision and give us that commitment, we pray. to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me again for Job. Hope it was a blessing to you. I hope you can join me again tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.